I think she's very spiritual and hippie-ish, too.
Maybe.
So she probably eats all that grain.
Can't go wrong with Pris from Blade Runner, can you? Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight we are going to talk about sequel to The Hustler, Paul Newman, Tom Cruise, Martin Scorsese directing, Color of Money, 1980.
And Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio.
Yeah, her.
Maid Marian. And then she disappeared.
Yeah, she did disappear.
It was a shame.
This movie starts off, let's see, 30 years after Fast Eddie's,
it's not 30 years, it was like
40 or something.
The Hustler was like, what, 61?
60.
So it would have been 25 years later.
Yeah, okay, yeah, 25 years after defeat of Fats. So Fast Eddie is, we figure maybe he's in Chi-Town. He's a liquor wholesalesman sort of thing. He's running
in the suburbs.
Some shifty business there where it's about...
Yeah, he's like in the gray market for booze.
It's about the color and the cheapness and whatnot. And you can get labels.
Well, it sounds like he's basically just running untaxed booze.
Yeah. But then they're trying to falsify as being a higher-end alcohol to turn a profit.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening when we started talking about iodine.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that alcohol's good for you.
No, but...
Shrinks the... I believe it shrinks your cerebellum.
Alcohol?
Yeah, it kills it off.
Kills a lot of brain cells and everything, yeah. It's bad to drink, kids. Don't drink.
Drinking is okay...
If you're an adult. If you're 21. It's kind of like sex is good if you're married.
Well, 17. I mean, really. Gotta be realistic, right?
Well, wait, are we being realistic?
Kind of like Chef and South Park.
Are we being moralistic? Are we being realistic or moralistic?
When should we have sex? 17.
Yeah, I know that. I know that.
But I figured you would.
Yeah.
But you didn't come back.
With the jokes, yeah.
Yeah. Always with the jokes with you.
It's always the jokes with me. So Fast Eddie is kind of hanging out at a pool hall, and he catches this kid that's cleaning out John Turturro, who is like sort of a buddy of his. And he just all of a sudden, I guess he just gets a bug up his ass and decides that this kid may be the real deal. He's got the talent. He's got the way that he moves it, and decides to front him and talk him into going on and teaching him to become a hustler and make some money for him. So he uses the kid to make some money along the way. He sort of rediscovers his own passion for the game, and. That's really what the story is. I mean, The Hustler, it's a continuation of the story of the character of Eddie Felsen, Fast Eddie Felsen, from The Hustler.
What, did he just get the shit beat out of him, or?
Well, in The Hustler, he gets his thumbs broken.
It's been like 10 years since
He gets his thumbs broken, but that's not at the very end. And then he comes back. It's similar structure to this in some way, where he goes off and he plays a bunch of games, and private games and things like that. And then, in the end, it's really, for him, it's all about being the best. It's very similar to a Twilight Zone episode with Quincy, with Jack Klugman and Jonathan Winters, where...
He actually did serious work.
Jonathan Winters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty good episode. It's my favorite episode of the old Twilight Zones. And I've only seen a handful of them.
Used to watch them on, Nick at Night or something.
But... It's just this striving to be really good at one thing, and that's sort of, it's the same with you get into the sports movie genre cliche kind of thing, or theme, I guess.
It feels really good being at the top.
Well, Rocky, all boxing movies, and I prefer sports movies where it's individual stuff. Maybe because I prefer individual sports.
Because you never play a team. You played basketball.
I played basketball.
You?
Yeah, I was a
star. Were you a team player?
I was a star basketball player. I'll post the picture of me at the jump game at the tournament on the site with this one. It'll fit, but not fit. That'll be good times. But no, it's just because you can really telling a story about a team is like an ensemble cast thing, and it can work maybe for a comedy,
Remember the Titans,
like Major League or something like that. But it becomes
Major League was fun.
It becomes kind of, to me at least, it seems really hokey when it becomes, because they're not one guy. It's not one story you can see crafted about a character and about his individual struggle. There's, well, sort of, but it's like, you know, you got Moxon and Billy Bob and John Voight and everybody talking about this is the way you're going to do it for your life. It's your life. You go out there, you leave everything out there on the field.
Billy Bob?
And it's a whole team of people.
Oh,
and it's like, you know what?
John Voight.
I kind of don't feel identified with any of those, and they're all jerk-offs anyway.
I could identify with Billy Bob a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Though he drove a Chevy.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, boxing movies are usually, it's the one guy, he's got to be the best, he's striving to do better, you know, he's going to train, Eyes on Fire, Hearts on Fire, Vince DiCola is going to do the soundtrack for Rocky IV, and he's going to
use power. There was sort of a montage.
Yeah, there was. It was an 80s training montage in this film, and it was awesome.
It was.
Because it was an Academy Award winning training montage. As close as that can ever happen, I guess, I can be pretty correct in saying that. Because this is where Paul Newman finally won his Oscar. Now I think
he had been nominated
a handful
several
of times. Yeah.
And I believe Sometimes a Great Notion might have also been nominated, and he directed it.
Mm.
And I think maybe it got nominated for Best Director.
Interesting. Well,
I know it won two Oscars, I believe. And then, of course, he was... did he get nominated for Cool Hand Luke?
I think he did for Cool Hand Luke. I don't know. I've only seen a couple of his movies. I'd like to go back and see I'd like to see the one where he's the PI.
Oh, Harper.
Well, isn't
Harper
there? There's two, and then there's one about Pool, the Deadpool,
right,
or something like that.
Right. That was the sequel. Harper was the first one.
I'd like to see both of those.
Shit, you know who's in that, which is really funny? Melanie Griffith plays this little Lolita character. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, she was young.
But I,
especially since nobody's fool.
Yeah.
And that whole thing.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. She was in that, right, with him. I always liked Newman. I always thought he was a pretty stand-up, straightforward guy. He's kind of.
There's nobody else like him in Hollywood.
He's kind of hard to find him unlikable, I think, you know.
That's Paul Newman.
Yeah. He was good in The Sting.
You know, he did play. There were some characters that.
Well, HUD was an asshole. He didn't always play a good guy, if that's what you mean. You know, he wasn't sort of typecast.
The Verdict was always tough too, because it.
My dad always loved Absence of Malice, because that's the one where it's basically this guy just kind of being annoyed by the journalists being kind of fast and loose with their journalistic integrity, and. And there's a courtroom scene.
When did that come out?
My dad always loved it. I don't know. It's Sally Field and Paul Newman. And it's another sort of courtroom thing.
Must have been the 70s.
I think it's the late 70s. But this film...
Slapshot was good.
I've seen bits of Slapshot. I liked it. I thought it was kind of fun and good. But this is... How early in Cruise's career is this? He'd done Top Gun and stuff, right? This is after that. So I think Top Gun really made him. Risky Business might have been what really made him. Top Gun was 85, I think. Or 86.
This was 86.
Then it was right around then or right after.
Risky Business was 83.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so he was on the radar and stuff, and this was probably a pretty good role for him to get. A real director. It wasn't an action movie bullshit thing.
That's true.
It required real chops.
Scorsese was pretty big time after Raging Bull.
Yeah, Scorsese always has had this sort of New York filmmaker mentality. Him and like Woody Allen, they do their movies, they're well respected. Most of them are pretty critically praised. They're rarely blockbusters, but they're well made, and he's respected as an artist and everything else. And so he's a real, it's a different kind of thing than like a James Cameron in terms of like the type of director that he is. But it's important because for Cruz to get a role in a Scorsese film was probably a seriously big deal, because it means that if he can pull off being in that, then he's got a career being a real actor. And, you know, he did. I think he did rather well in this. I mean,
Tom Cruise, the last thing that... Well, I know you liked Minority Report. But
I thought it was all right.
I'd say the last time I really liked Tom Cruise in a movie probably was Rain Man.
Well, I don't.
That's fucking 20 years.
Kind of find him sort of just sort of innocuous in a lot of films, because he's in so many big films where it's not, he's like the figurehead, right. But it's like who gives a shit, you know? Like, I liked Mission Impossible. I liked Mission Impossible 3. I liked Minority Report. I even kind of liked War of the Worlds because it was Spielberg and it was crazy.
It was interesting.
I mean, they're for what they're worth, you know what I mean? It's like, so what? So really, I kind of gave the plot. It's a straightforward enough plot. Fast Eddie just, you know, kind of takes this kid under his wing, and in the it's your classic old-timer catch, you know, find someone that he thinks he can teach something, and as he teaches something, he learns something about himself, and he regains his confidence, and he comes back to do it, and that's pretty much what the story is. And I mean, I'd imagine for a big guy, for a heavy hitter like Paul Newman to say, you know, 25 years later to be said, hey, we got a sequel to The Hustler, do you want to do this? Then there had to be something, some grain of something in that character that he felt he wanted to return to, and you know, that made it worth it for him to do it.
You know, that's the one thing I thought was really cool.
I don't think he
Paul
was too
Newman.
Strapped for cash, right? He wouldn't have been the kind of guy who would have done it for money. I mean, you know, the cynic would say, yeah, they paid him a lot of money and he did it. It doesn't matter, but. I don't get the sense.
Well, I think
that
at that
matter.
Point, Paul Newman,
he had
shit,
his salad dressings and shit. Yeah,
he probably had his own production company too.
I don't know anything about that, but you know, the point is the theme is really followed through. About, you know, Fast Eddie just sort of but I would say by the end of this film, Fast Eddie has reached the sort of zen-like, well, not quite there, but he pretty much is at about the zen-like player champion, true champion mentality that Fats is in at the end of The Hustler, or that you get from Fats. I mean, Fats has it the whole time in The Hustler. He's at the beginning, he plays him, and then at the end when he plays him, Fats hasn't changed, and that's not really about that. But it's this sense that, you know, it's just a game, I'm playing. It's the sense of fun in doing something and in trying to improve and be better for yourself. You know, it's the same thing in Rocky IV, when the training montage about Drago, you know, it starts and he's all intense and they're comparing his, you know, his using nature to Drago using, you know, Russian scientists and steroids. And then he's got the picture of Drago on his window, or on his mirror. You know, that he'll have to see every morning when he wakes up. And at a certain point in his training, it's all intense. And then he grabs the picture and he rips it down and he just looks at himself. Because it's like in any sort of... That's why individual sport movies are more interesting to me, because the theme is about the individual getting better and improving himself and getting stronger. And it's not about this whole... I mean, I think for comedies, a sport film that's a team works... And I think when they do it, try to be dramatic about it, it just always feels really hack and hokey, because it's like, I don't know, it's hard to translate that through sincerely when it's more than one story and more than one person. It's like a collective feeling, you know what I mean? And a collective sense of joy or fun or jovialness, like in the Bad News Bears, that
yeah,
works.
Weird.
That works, but in
just
but when you get dramatic...
Before you said that. It went through my head.
Well, yeah, that's because that's what we're talking about, you know? It fits. But I can see the sincerity of, like, the individual struggle to try to become better that's in, you know, like a character like a Rocky Balboa or an Eddie Felsen. It just, you can't do it with a team. And so I actually had never seen this film, The Color of Money. I'd seen The Hustler... I think just once. I actually sat down and watched it about 18 months ago when it was on Turner Classic. It's beautifully photographed, black and white, crisp as all hell, just a real crisp black and white film. Yeah, I'd say that, if you like pool movies, and if which there are a few, and you know you like sort of individual sport theme films about where I mean that, the sports is really just sort of a backdrop. It's the action, it's the excitement, it's the spectacle to talk about a character trying to deal with insecurities and not being good enough and things that everybody
really,
goes
for
through.
Me, I just want to see Paul Newman kick ass.
Yeah, that's nice to see. Though, to be perfectly honest, we really don't see him do that in this movie.
No, it doesn't.
But you know, that's the real lesson, is that his attitude at the end, you feel like he has, because he has. He's kicked his own ass. He's woke
because
himself
Tom
up.
Tom Cruise has turned into an asshole when Fast Eddie Felsen's back.
So, let's get into the nuts and bolts here. Scorsese, he's doing a lot of dollying in this, and he's doing a lot of crane moves, or jib
moves.
Well,
I told you my favorite shot. Yeah. And that was crazy with the crane, and it goes...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
so
like
feel,
rotating
well, you,
down.
You need to do something crazy like that to actually fully encompass... I mean, I think that was all one shot. They have Newman,
yep.
And then they pan.
It was very...
There was a lot of panning
classic
in it.
Scorsese.
A lot of panning in this. I wonder... This is early enough. This might have been the first film where he really did a lot of... He did some of that in Goodfellas, sort of... It always plays kind of comedic when he does it in his crime movies, because it's kind of like whoosh, whoosh. In this, I think it was very
well,
much...
Well, he did that very much with the pool balls.
Yeah, it's that. It's the dynamicism of the game of pool, and that's where I think you're getting the motivation for the dollying in, the pushing in with the dolly, and yeah, the swish pans that he does a lot of. And in that sense, I liked it. It does get a little self-aware. Let's break down Scorsese's career, because at this point, in
way back.
86...
I remember an interview he was talking about, he was going to NYC during the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he remembers his teacher stopping
the class.
He was going
to New York City, NYC?
I'm sorry, NYU.
Okay. He did one about a guy shaving and bleeding all over the place, a short film. I've seen it. It's creepy. It's gross. It's weird. And then he did a lot of his sort of, they felt like Capra referenced, not Capra, but Cassavetes sort of like derivative stuff. Well, Mean Streets and those sort of movies that are about a bunch of New Yorkers. They're very blue collar, very like regular guy stuff. And so he did
he
those
did what he knew.
In the 70s. Yeah. I'm not
talking about
I'm
the
not,
neighborhood.
I'm not knocking it at all. I'm just sort of describing sort of his faces. And then he did Raging Bull, and that was his big
win. I'm
just
wondering who Cassavetes is.
John Cassavetes?
Yeah.
Dirty Dozen. He was a director. He worked with Peter Falk in a lot of films in the 70s. His wife was Gina Rollins, and kind of very theatrical, sort of over-the-top kind of stuff.
Peter Falk wasn't
had its mentality.
Dirty Dozen, was he?
No.
He was in the Big Red One, though, wasn't he?
I don't think so.
He wasn't?
I don't think so.
I think he was.
Oh, maybe. And after Raging Bull, so that'd be 81, he did... Did he do Last Temptation after that? I know
that
he didn't
was
do
like
it
87.
Oh, really? So it was after this then?
Yeah.
So what the hell did he do between Raging Bull and Color of Money? He hadn't even done Goodfellas yet, had he? That was like 90.
That was 90.
So he hadn't even been really done anything to establish himself as being this like crime. I'd say Goodfellas is really what established him in this sort of. It's kind of unfair because you almost feel like he's the guy that's only kind of like with Oliver Stone. You feel like maybe all he's ever done was conspiracy movies. When he did a couple, but he's done other stuff.
No, he's done a lot of stuff.
He's had a variety, and so is Scorsese.
And he's funny. I love listening to Oliver Stone. I mean, he gets into all conspiracy stuff. But he's so animated and he's so passionate about
yeah,
whatever
he's
it
kind
is.
Of a crackpot, but he sort of knows
but
it too.
It's funny. It's funny to listen to him. It's entertaining. That's entertainment.
That's entertainment. Now that's
you know, for the longest time, well, I didn't see Raging Bull until maybe like 5 or 6 years ago. And that line would get used a lot. And I always thought it was from like some movie, I don't know, like freaking... Cecil B. DeMille or something.
Yeah,
I didn't really know.
It might be. I don't know. They might
maybe
be parodying it within that. Yeah, it's very likely actually because it's such a sort of. It probably is, But I really didn't care for Raging Bull. I felt that it was... I understand what it was doing, but it just seemed so...
I think down it was probably itself. Because I think he probably had a...
I might have gone into it expecting more, you know, because of all the critical stuff. I always had a hard time
until I just appreciate the performance.
Yeah.
I've always had a hard time watching De Niro play a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I always had a problem with
Jackie
this
Brown.
Boy's wife and Jackie Brown, and where he plays a loser. You don't want to see Bobby playing a loser. You want to see Bobby breaking heads and, you know...
Yeah, a little bit.
And calling fucking Joe Bob Briggs a dumb fucking Momo. but yeah, so that was hard, but I honestly, the first time I saw it, I really understood why everybody made such a big fuss about it. Because it did. Some movies just kind of, it's kind of like, listen, if you were sitting around listening... Oh, I know the perfect way to explain it. Laurel Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about, how do you know when a song's a single? Well, it just hits you.
Yeah, I guess I'd lose there.
But no, Raging Bull. And some things just kind of make a connection. That movie actually did with me. I own it. And I don't think I've taken it out of the package yet. Or taken the plastic off. Because it's definitely not something I'd watch again and again.
Yeah.
Like maybe even Goodfellas.
You just have
Goodfellas is just fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's an experience. You start out big. You end up small.
It all comes crashing down.
It all comes crashing down.
But, I mean, with Scorsese here, he's having fun doing the camera work stuff. And he did a really good job in this film. I think he got a great performance out of Tom Cruise. Early on, and maybe Newman helped with that. Newman's performance was really good.
Newman's performances are always really good.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that like there's a definite like difference between Battista Eddie Felsen from The Hustler and you know Eddie Felsen, and it's not even really that he's grown; it's that he's aged. It's different. He hasn't really matured a lot, and he's still. And you get that in the scene after Forrest Whitaker beats him, after he loses to Forrest Whitaker. He really becomes kind of...
He's learned how to lose.
Yeah, he hasn't learned how to lose, and he never probably will, because, you know, that's not his character.
Well, I think at the end he is starting to accept it, because he's like, I don't have that many games left in me.
Well, sure, but that doesn't, you know, you lost, but that doesn't mean you have to like it.
No, you don't.
And so he's...
But at the same time, I mean, it was literally like...
Have fun.
There was... I'm not going to lay that all on him. I see the point. But it was also... had to have been extremely frustrating.
To
dealing
lose.
With, you know, as he keeps saying, childcare.
Yeah. Well, he put that on himself. He invited that into his situation. He encouraged... He went... to where Tom Cruise worked and had a happy life just being a guy that would hustle an occasional game at the local pool hall work while he was working at the Toys R Us.
Well, he wasn't hustling.
He was getting money.
Yeah, like $20
That's
a
true.
Pop.
He wasn't hustling, but, you know, he was
playing
pool for money, you know? And so he created the, you know, he motivates the story, which is a definite change in the character. I mean, the fact that he fell in from... The Hustler wasn't really all that self-motivated to try to work up a scheme. He was more someone that just wanted to show how great he was.
Like Vinny.
Like, you know, exactly. Just like Tom Cruise in this, to a point. And then he sees what he sort of has created in Tom Cruise at that point where, you know, after they have their game or the match. And we don't need to spoiler it. And I think we'll keep it free because our audience might not have seen this film. And this film is a film worth seeing.
I bet you a lot of them haven't. Well, has Zach seen it?
I don't know. Maybe. Probably.
Then our audience has seen it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The point is we can talk about the theme without saying the two or three things that are kind of really important in terms of something, you know, you people, want to know what happens.
I'd recommend seeing this movie because, again, I dig pretty much everything that Paul Newman's been in. I just enjoy watching him act.
Pretty great soundtrack. The only real flaw in this movie is the inexplicable opening credit font that is... It looks like Jason 3 or something. It's like this squiggly... At first it looks like Kindergarten Cop. It's kind of squiggly. And then it's like this black with like a reddish, like blow, like ripped out bold background aspect to it. And it just looks like a horror movie. It looks hokey and it doesn't...
Don't forget the Phil Collins.
...work well. Well, yeah, then there was the Genesis playing in the pool hall at the beginning, which seemed really out of place. In watching this movie, you could get... I was kind of trepidatious as a first-time viewer of it, that it was going to turn into a real melodramatic soap opera kind of thing. That it was going to, and it has the obligatory, you know, guy does well, guy feels bad, guy has an argument, people break up, they kind of come back together, but things are changed and so forth.
That's
but
just it, living with a woman.
But it's well, it's not even about that. It's more about the relationship between Eddie and Vinny. Well, I just expected that it might go into the soap opera realm where Paul Newman would start this affair with the girlfriend of Tom Cruise. She helped her ex-boyfriend rob his house, and she still has a piece of jewelry from the robbery. And that whole thing never really gets resolved. You never quite get the sense... And she's just with him because she thinks he's sweet. You know, like, whatever. Like, that's not going to last for very long, you know? A woman like that, it's like, you know, it's bullshit.
She's a hustler, too.
Exactly. And so...
Which is why she's flashing her goodies around.
But you were saying, just like me, that in today's day, they would have to put it in a fair... Because it didn't have the garbage melodrama that I was expecting, it's a very straightforward movie. It doesn't really have a lot of pretense. It just is kind of like, it's a bit of a road picture, but they kind of, there's not really a lot of traveling. There's maybe only two or three featured pool halls. It makes it sound like he's going to go out on the road for 6 weeks and really go to a lot of places and see a lot of different things. But, I mean, he plays...
They did sort of a montage.
Yeah, when they showed Iggy Pop and stuff, right? And that was actually Iggy Pop playing pool. At first, I made a joke as we were watching it. I'm like, because the guy looked like some kind of a stooge. And then I looked at it for a second. I'm like, that is Iggy Pop. Holy shit. Yeah, this was a good one. I have to admit that I rather enjoyed this one. And if I gave The Hustler... A-, I'd probably have to just give this either a B+ or an A- also. I don't think that... Actually, I might give this a better grade only because The Hustler has a real slow part in the middle that just makes it seem interminably long.
I remember my dad trying to show me The Hustler and I couldn't make it through the middle.
Yeah, the middle, it just... Something about... It's necessary, but it's 10 minutes too long or something like that. Something about the way it's structured.
Well, I remember all that relationship shit.
Well, but the thing about
cut out.
That's not all the relationship stuff because that's still important on him trying to figure out his life. That's what his thumbs are recuperating too. So it's necessary that there be something there that it kind of, but it's that inevitable. It's that second act stretch where you can lose things. You can just get bored. You can take a nap and everything. And this movie really doesn't have that. It kind of just keeps the pool going and it keeps stuff happening. It's pretty economical. It's about 5 minutes under 2 hours, but it doesn't feel terribly long. That would be long for the 80s, for the mid-80s, you know, because the movies hadn't all gotten to where their average was 2 hours like they are now.
Well, I mean, if it's a good movie, 180 minutes isn't too long for me.
Well, Heat is probably my favorite movie, if not one of my favorite movies. And yes, that's a long movie, but that's an ensemble cast. That's a lot of, that's an A, a B,
there's
and a C
story. There's a lot of side
stories.
I remember the first time I saw it, and I absolutely loved it, and I guess I was 15. And that was the argument I got from everybody. They felt it was too long and too boring in spots. But, you know, they were just going for an action flick, and they didn't get it.
Yeah, it's a lot more than that. I have no problem with length if there's stuff going on. I generally prefer for a longer movie that there needs to be a more interesting A, B, C type story. If it's going to be anything more, much more than 2 hours, otherwise it starts to just, that's where that second inning stretch becomes problematic. Second inning stretch, the second act stretch.
You can make it 2 innings, right?
Yeah, I could make it, if I'm lucky. So I don't know, I guess we do stars, right? I said A minus.
Eat your vitamin C.
Yeah, I said A minus, so I don't know, I'd have to give it a...
I'd give it a 4.
I'd give it a 4.
In my scale.
Pretty easily.
Which is, a 4 is a solid B.
Solid, yeah.
I don't do pluses and minuses.
Yeah, well, I give it a 4 then.
I definitely save the 5s for my all-time favorite movies.
Oh, the 4.5s are for
but
the
But I always try to
really
remind
close,
that
yeah.
I don't judge on... I'm not critiquing the film. I'm just basically saying how much I like it.
The solemn tranquility of solitude.
There
the melancholic solitude
the
of tranquility.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's what I'm going to call my memoir.
Your memoir.